Well, let's pray and prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord this morning. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that empowers us, Lord, that uses us and that causes us to understand spiritual truth. I pray, Father, that you'd have your way in this service, Lord, and that each and every one would be changed, delivered, set free, healed, made whole by the power of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are in a series right now called Know Your Enemy. You need to know who your true enemy is, the devil, Satan. The Bible calls him our adversary. So we need to know how he works. We need to know what his schemes are. And you need to know this. Listen, he wants to do you harm. Doesn't matter if you believe in the devil or not, he's real. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant. That means be alert and ready. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Here's a message for the church. You have an adversary. You got to be alert and you got to be ready, because he's going around looking for somebody to devour. You see, he wants to harm. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is always working against the believer. Listen, if you're a believer, if he can't take you out, then he just wants to sideline you. He wants to keep you from doing the things that you are supposed to be doing. You see, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he's still doing that through his body, the church. And you're part of the church. God has things that you are supposed to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that there are works that he has before ordained that you should walk in them. Things that you were created to do. And I want to tell you, the enemy of your soul, he wants to keep you from fulfilling the plan and the purpose of God in your life. He will try to sideline you with sickness. You know, it's hard to really go hard for God when you're sick in your body and you're hurting. I don't know about you, but when I'm really, really sick, I'm not usually thinking about how I can help other people and how I can serve. Listen, when you're really sick, it's hard to be loving and kind and unselfish. It makes it a battle. When you're really sick, let's just make it simple, all right? You can't show up and work with the children when you're running a fever. I'm just telling you, the enemy of your soul, he will try to use sickness and disease to sideline you, to keep you, to hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. He'll try to sideline you with problems in your marriage, issues with your children. You know what? It's real obvious when it happens to a minister, to a pastor. But even with volunteers who serve the Lord in the church, there are so many that when they have marital problems or they have big problems with their children, it disrupts what they're doing for God. Sometimes it takes them out of the ministry. But I'm just telling you, the enemy is at work to try to stop you, to try to keep you from fulfilling the call of God on your life. He'll come against your finances, try to stop you, to try to slow you down. It's amazing how many people, when push comes to shove, they don't serve God, they don't do anything for the Lord anymore because they're so busy just trying to make ends meet. That's the enemy at work. He'll try to destroy your witness, your testimony, through anger and strife. He'll try to get you in conflict, fighting with other people. Try to get you to forget who your real enemy is. Get you focused on flesh and blood, thinking that that's where your fight is. He'll try to hinder your race through sin and compromise. That's why Hebrews 12:2 says that we have to run our race with perseverance. We got to throw off the sin that so easily besets us, that hinders us. You see, there's a lot of Christians, they're not fulfilling the call of God. They're not doing what God wants them to do because there's some sin, some compromise in their life that has sidelined them. But whatever it takes, I'm telling you, he wants to stop the plan and purpose of God in your life because he knows that you are a part of the plan of God to destroy his works. And he also knows what God has planned for him. And so he's always working against you and against the plan of God. Now, last week, we talked about his primary weapon, deception. And he uses deception so often to try to bring fear, to try to make people afraid. He is a fear monger. He uses fear to intimidate, to manipulate, to try to control people. He uses fear to try to take away your peace, to take away your joy, to rob you of the blessings of God. So many people just get to the place where they're bound up by fears, afraid of what's going to happen in the future. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. I hear a lot of people that are so afraid, they're so worried about what's going to happen. In fact, it seems like it makes them mad if you're not worried with them. They're like, are you stupid? You need to be afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not worried. You know why? Because Jesus said, don't worry. Now, you can take that as a suggestion from Jesus, like, hey, Jesus thinks it's a good idea not to worry. I take it as a command. He says, don't worry. Are you obeying Jesus? Or are you worrying? Are you worried about tomorrow? What's going to happen? Well, Charlie Brown, he said, I have a new philosophy. I'm only going to dread one day at a time. That would be a start for some people. I'm telling you, so many people, they just think doom is coming in this area, this area, this area. And sometimes religious people, Christians, seem to be just as bad or worse than the world. But I'm telling you, Christians struggle with fear just like the world does. All this anxiety and the possibility of trouble and what's going to happen. You know, it seems like they, instead of living by God's law, they live by Murphy's law. If anything can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. What is that? It's fear. It's Satan trying to manipulate people, trying to control, trying to keep you back from living in all that God has for you because of fear. Listen, Ann Landers at one time received 10,000 letters a month, and nearly all of them were people with problems. And so she was asked, of all the letters that you get, what is the one thing that seems to stand out the most, the one problem that people have? And she said, the one problem above all others seems to be fear. People are afraid of losing their health, their wealth, and their loved ones. People are afraid of life itself. I'm telling you, fear can keep you from being able to enjoy life. Fear can keep you from doing the things that would bring success in your life. Fear can keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do, the things that you are supposed to do. This old story about a farmer who's sitting on the porch of his shack, and a visitor stopped by, and they said, well, how's your cotton coming? He said, ain't got none. Didn't plant none. Afraid of boll weevils. He said, well, how's your corn? Didn't plant none. Afraid of drought. Well, how about your potatoes? Ain't got none. Scared of tater bugs. Finally, the stranger says, well, what did you plant? Nothing. I'm playing it safe. And I'm just telling you that there's a whole lot of people kind of living their life like that. They're just not really stepping out in faith, not really obeying God, not really doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they're playing it safe. That's not abundant life. That's not the way we were called to live. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. God expects us to live by faith, not by fear. Not we're afraid of what's going to happen. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you obeying Jesus? Are you letting fear in? Sometimes the circumstances of life make it hard not to be afraid. Like the storm that the disciples went through with Jesus asleep in the boat. Everything seemed out of control, and they were afraid they were going to die. They wake Jesus up, and they say, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? And I think a lot of people are right there in our day, in our generation, right now. A lot of Christians are right there. They're like, Lord, don't you see what's going on? Don't you care what's happening to us? Lord, are you asleep? They're afraid. Here's Jesus' response. Matthew 8:26, he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why are you fearful? Well, don't you know what's going on with the economy? Don't you know what's happening in the Middle East? Don't you know about terrorism? Don't you know about another attack and another attack and another? Don't you know all this violence and all this tragedy is happening in our world? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? You see, the prince of the power of the air, the God of this world, is at work. But we don't have to be afraid. In fact, Jesus says, why are you afraid? Don't you know the disciples just wanted to go, what do you mean? The waves are coming in the boat. See, some of you are doing that right now to me. You're like, what do you mean? All this stuff's going on in our world. Jesus says, why are you afraid? Where's your faith? He said, oh, you of little faith. You see, if the enemy of our soul can get us operating in fear and doubt and unbelief, then we are not standing in faith. Do you see here in this verse, in Matthew 8:26, you are fearful, O you of little faith. You see, fear will undermine your faith. And how do you believe God? How do you stand on the promises? It's by faith. That's how we are protected. That's how we are blessed. That's how God takes care of us. It's when we believe. It's by faith. And if the enemy can get us operating in fear, then it opens the door for destruction. We got to overcome the thoughts of fear. We got to deal with that worry. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Jesus says, don't worry. Instead, he says, have faith in God. And I'm telling you, when your faith gets strong, you won't be afraid anymore. Quit listening to the doomsdayers. I've been hearing these doomsdayers all my life. And so often, they'll say, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This is going to happen. It's going to happen. And sometimes, they even give you dates. They say, all right, this is what's going to happen. By this date, this is what's going to happen. Well, the date comes and goes, and they were a false prophet. But it's amazing to me how people will still listen to that stuff. Don't worry about tomorrow. I think that message just makes some people mad. Jesus is the one who preached it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Live for God right now. Do what God wants you to do right now. You know, it's amazing, even in the very worst of circumstances, how should you handle the very worst of circumstances? Fear or faith? The worst thing that can happen to a parent happened to Jairus. His little girl got sick and then she died. And when they got the news that she died, Jesus looks at him, and in Mark 5:35, this is what he says to him. Be not afraid, only believe. He just heard his daughter died and he says, don't be afraid, just believe. You see, faith overcomes fear. Fear will undermine your faith. And I want you to see this, it's a choice. Jesus tells him, don't be afraid, only believe. A lot of people think they can serve God living by their feelings. No, you got to live by the word of God. You need to take control of your thought life. You need to take control of your will. You have a free will. And you need to decide, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to believe God. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. He didn't preach fear. It makes me mad to hear these preachers preaching fear. It's one thing when worldly people do it, but preachers shouldn't preach fear. Jesus didn't preach fear. He preached faith over and over and over. He was the first faith preacher. Over and over, he preached about faith. He never told people to have fear. In fact, he said, fear not. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, we're not supposed to be afraid. God rules and reigns in our lives. We've been delivered. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're not supposed to operate in fear. No, he provides for us. He protects us. He blesses us. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Stop listening to all that bad news. Start listening to the good news. Proverbs 3:24 through 26. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Don't be afraid. Your sleep will be sweet. How does that happen? Because your trust is in the Lord. Do not be afraid of sudden terror. Don't be afraid of terrorism, nor of trouble from the wicked. Where's all this wickedness come from? The wicked one, and he uses wicked people. But let me tell you what the Bible says, our part in that is, don't be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of the wicked when it comes. Listen, for the Lord will be your confidence and keep your foot from being caught. Now, I want you to realize, it doesn't matter how brave and tough you think you are, all of us have to deal with the issue of fear. Every great man of God or woman of God in the scripture, at one time or another, they had to deal with unbelief and fear. And so do we. We all face the opportunity to be afraid or to choose to believe God. Fear has torment. That's what the Bible says. It also tells us that the fear of man is a snare. It will trap you. It will cause you to do things that you didn't want to do or things that you shouldn't do. Sometimes we call it peer pressure, but it's really fear pressure. It is Satan trying to manipulate and control. The fear of not being accepted or being liked by others. Fear of opposition. Listen, if you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be some opposition. Fear of not having enough. Sometimes it causes people to do things that are wrong. Fear of not being loved or finding that special someone causes people sometimes to fall into sin. But I'm telling you, Satan uses fear to get people to do things so that he can keep them from having the blessing of God in their life. And he uses fear to keep them from doing what God wants them to do. You see, some people don't worship God the way they should because of fear. Some people don't give to God's work because of fear. Some people don't get involved in ministry because of fear. Some people don't really share their faith because of fear. You see, the list is long of how Satan will work his way in, and through deception, he will try to bring fear in your life to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Think about this. We have the fear of terrorism or war. We have the fear of lack, not being able to pay your bills or have enough. Fear of sickness and disease. Wow, that is all around us all the time. You just turn on the TV and they start playing these drug commercials and talking about these symptoms, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh my goodness, I have that. I must have that. I must have that. And you get on the internet and you Google it, and then you're sure you're going to die within 2 weeks. Fear. All this fear, I'm telling you, Satan is behind it to terrorize you, to paralyze you. Fear of losing a job, fear of tragedy in your life, all kinds of fears. Listen, and what are all of those things? They are the works of the devil. You see, he wants you to be afraid, because when you're afraid, you're not standing on the word of God. You're not believing God. And that leaves you open to his attack. You got a scripture for that? I do. Ephesians chapter 6, it's telling us about the armor of God. It's telling us about how we can stand against all the wiles of the devil. How are you going to stand against the wiles of the devil? Well, you put on the whole armor of God. And in verse 16, it tells us what the most important part to put on is. It says, above all. Above all. That means this is the big one. This is the most important. Above all, you take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. What happens if you don't have the shield? You can't quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. This is not a game. This is real. How do you quench the fiery darts of the wicked one? The shield of faith. And when you are afraid, when you are fearful, you're not operating in faith. No, you've put your trust in the things of this world, in the circumstances, and the way things look. Listen, to operate with the shield of faith, you have to stand on the word of God. That's what will protect you from all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's the shield of faith. He's working against you to stop you, to keep you from believing God. So he tries to bring in fear to destroy your faith. Our former pastor, Brother Harold Nichols, when he wanted me to come back to Grace to pastor the church, he had been talking to me and asking me to come back for some time. And when I really began to, you know, feel like it was time that God was moving me this direction, I talked with a couple of minister friends about coming back to Grace, and they all told me the same thing. They said, Mark, don't do it. You can't follow a beloved pastor like Harold Nichols, who's been there 50 years, and those people all love him. You can't be him. They will hate you. You're going to have heartache and trouble. They're going to call you the devil. Don't go. Now, I want to tell you something. Those men were offering me wise counsel, and they were telling me the straight up, because as I looked at others who had followed pastors of a church where the pastor was there for 50 years, it's just like they said. The first one or two to follow them is the sacrificial lamb. It takes a church one or two pastors to figure out that nobody can be the former guy, so we're going to have to make do with this one. Well, I got to tell you, there's always a little bit of truth when the devil is trying to intimidate you and make you fearful and keep you from doing what God wants you to do. But I knew that God wanted me to come back and pastor this church, and so I did. I had to lay aside the fear and come in faith Now, I've told you before, sometimes my faith wasn't real strong. I was kind of like Esther. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to obey God. I'm just telling you, though, church, if you're going to do anything for God, there's going to be fears. There's going to be arguments. Remember, we talked about those arguments last week, those strongholds in the mind. There's going to be arguments that will come against why you shouldn't do it. But you can't walk by fear. We walk by faith. You got to obey God. Remember this. The children of Israel came to the promised land. This is what God had for them. It had been promised for hundreds of years. Hundreds and hundreds of years. This was promised over and over and over. And they come to the promised land, and the 12 spies go into the land, and two come back with a good report, Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 had a bad report. And I want to tell you, a lot of times it's just that way. The majority has a bad report. If you just listen to anybody and everybody, you're going to hear fear. And that bad report caused such fear in the people that they didn't believe God and they didn't go in. It was not the plan of God for them to dwell in the wilderness for 40 years. And I see in the body of Christ today a lot of things going on in people's lives. It's not the plan of God. It is the result of fear and the lack of faith. What God had for them was to go in and to possess the land. But because of their fear, they had to die in the wilderness. That's not what God spoke over them, not at the beginning. No, he said they were going in the promised land. They spoke that over their own selves. And how sad that they missed what God had for them. A land of abundance. A land of victory. There is an abundant life. There is a victory for the Christian that you will not live in if you allow fear to stay in your life. The enemy of your soul knows that if he can get you operating in fear, he can keep you from stepping into the plan and purpose of God in your life. Don't miss what God has for you because of fear. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm telling you, Satan looks for someone who is down. He looks for those who are weak. He looks for those who are alone. He looks for the discouraged. He looks for those who are unaware and unprepared. He looks for those that are not standing on the word of God. He looks for those that are weak in the faith. So we got to overcome our fears. Realize, how do you overcome fear? Realize that Jesus has already given you power over all the power of the enemy. Listen, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. There's a promise. There's a word from God. You don't have to be afraid of the adversary of your soul to overcome him. You have to stand in faith. You have to believe God. You got to realize that you already have authority over him. So many people allow this fear, this intimidation in their life. God says in 2 Timothy 1:7 that he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Listen, the spirit of fear, all that fear-mongering, that's not from God. God works through faith, not fear. Listen, if fear is moving you, Satan is manipulating you. Let God speak to you. Those of you who have heard my wife's testimony, she makes this very clear that what she did by faith. You don't make your decisions based on fear. when you're facing sickness and illness, when you're facing decisions about a job change or about your finances. You don't base your decisions on fear. You base your decisions on faith. Don't ever let fear control you. You got to make up your mind that you're going to walk by faith. He didn't give us the spirit of fear. That's not from God. He gave us the spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. I think it's important that we get that sound mind, because the enemy is always trying to use deception to make you think that things are worse than they are. He's always talking about what if, and this might happen and that might happen. You need a sound mind. Keep your mind on the things of God, on the Word of God. Realize fear is not from God. Next, you need to take a stand against your enemy with the shield of faith. That's how the Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, he says, stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to stand against him. You got to resist him. James 4:7, submit yourself to God. Now I want you to get that. Jesus has to be Lord. This isn't the game. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you get the devil to flee? You resist him. You stand against him. He's like a bully. You got to stand up to him. I remember being in the lunch line one day, and a bully was going down the line asking everybody for a nickel. A nickel. That's nothing nowadays, right? Asking everybody for a nickel, and they all lied and said, I don't have a nickel. They were afraid. Well, how are you going to pay for your lunch? And he got to me, and I just couldn't lie. I'm just too ornery. I said, I'm not giving you a nickel. He said, I'm going to whip you. I said, I don't care. You're still not getting a nickel. He walked away. He didn't just walk away from me. He walked away from the line. And I'm just telling you, the devil's a bully. You got to stand against him. Don't bow down to his fear. Don't give in to him. I remember one time when I pastored a small church in Oklahoma, I was going door to door with door hangers, inviting people to church. And all of a sudden, you talk about the devil coming after you. A Rottweiler came from the backyard of this house, coming at me full speed as I was walking away. And when I realized what was happening, I turned and faced him, and he stopped. I thought, okay, we're good. I turned again to walk away. He started running at me again. So I had to face him, and I backed away from that house until I got far enough where he wouldn't pursue me anymore. But I'm just telling you, you got to face your enemy. You got to stand against him. You know, when a mad dog is coming after you, they like it when you turn and run. And so does the devil. He wants you to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of him. You have power over him. You stand against the wiles of the devil. But how do you do that? The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. There's no room for this casual Christianity. This is not a game. I've said that three times in this sermon. That's for somebody, I'm just telling you. This is real. You got to make up your mind. You're going to be strong in the Lord. You say, well, I don't know much about all this. I'm not strong. Well, let me just give you the fast course of how to get strong. You start reading your Bible. You start praying. You get in church every time the doors are open. You start hanging out with Christians. You quit listening to garbage and hanging out with the wrong people. You get strong in the Lord so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. I love you, and I'm trying to help you right now, so please forgive me for what I'm about to say. If you call your friends, and you should call your spiritual friends when you need prayer and you need support, but I just want you to hear what I'm saying. You call your friends, and you say, well, pray for me, pray for me. You should ask people to pray for you when you're going through a hard time. But don't be deceived about that. You yourself need to be strong in the Lord. You need to make up your mind that you're not going to be beat up on by the adversary of your soul, but you're going to rise up in faith. You're not going to allow him to have his way in your life. You're not going to be afraid of him. You're going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I tell you, the word will make you strong. How do you get rid of that fear? The word of God. The Bible says, Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing will make them stumble. You got to dig into God's word. If you stay in God's word, it'll bring a peace to you. It'll bring a confidence to you. It'll build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, and when your faith gets strong, see, when you know what God said about your situation, then you don't have to be afraid. You stand on the word of God. Now, I want to go back to that talking about standing against the enemy. You need to go on the offense. A lot of people, the only time that they ever take a stand against the devil is when they're already getting beat up under attack. No, you need to be offensive. You need to use your faith and be strong. They say that a llama is a great defense to protect sheep. I read about one person who had a lot of sheep, and they tried everything to protect their sheep from coyotes, and they finally tried a llama. Have you ever seen a llama? They're the goofiest creatures. I mean, who would be afraid of a llama? It's not like they're this fierce animal or anything, you know? But when a llama sees something, they're curious, and they stick their head up, and they walk straight towards it. It's not because they're so brave, they're just stupid. But they'll just walk straight towards whatever it is. And a coyote sees that as aggressive behavior and they'll run away. And I'm just telling you that with our enemy, we have to be aggressive. We can't run and hide in fear. No, instead, we take him head on, we stand against him. You stand with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you know, one of the ways that the enemy will try to break you down and bring fear in your life is through guilt and condemnation. Did you know that when God found Adam in the garden after he and Eve had sinned, one of the very first things that Adam said to God was, "I was afraid and I hid." It's one of the things that happens when we know that we're not perfect and we know we make mistakes. The enemy, remember, he's the accuser of the brethren. He will come and he will try to condemn you. He will try to beat you down. He'll try to tell you that you're not worthy, that you're not a candidate to stand on the promises of God. They don't apply to you because you sorry dog. Romans 8:33 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." See, God justified you by the shedding of blood, by Jesus' precious blood. He made you righteous. It is not your own righteousness, it's not your own goodness that gives you the strength to be able to stand against the devil. It is the righteousness that God has given you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow the enemy to bring fear on you through guilt and condemnation. Listen to this. In Isaiah 54:17, it says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord." See, even in the Old Testament, their righteousness was from the Lord. We're in right standing with God. We are his children, washed in the blood of Jesus, filled with his Spirit. Yes, we can stand against all the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord. Be ready. Don't allow him to steal your faith and to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Proverbs 28 and 1 says, the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. You see, when you get to feeling condemned and guilty, and you're afraid. But when you know that God has washed you, that God has made you righteous, then you can be bold. Now, I want to wrap this up with this. There's only one fear you should have in your life. By the way, I'm not talking about being stupid. You know, there's this thing in this world, I think it's really strong here in Texas, you know, where we're not afraid of nothing. Watch this. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not fearless. That's just stupid. The Bible says we're to be wise. But I'm telling you, though, listen, there's only one fear that a Christian ought to have in their life, and that's the fear of the Lord. And it's not being afraid of God, but it is an awe and a respect, a reverence for God. It is a realization that He is Almighty God. And when you realize how awesome and powerful He is, everything that you could ever be afraid of is little bitty. Now you see, in the natural mind, you might think, oh no, this is a big deal. Not when you look at an awesome, all-powerful God. There's not anything He can't do. You see, we shouldn't be afraid of anything when we realize that we are walking in this world under the hand of a sovereign God, Almighty God. We don't have to be afraid. Let me read to you from Psalm 112, verse 1 through 8. It says, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light and darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. Don't be afraid of bad news. You don't have to be. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That's why we're not afraid, because we're trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 26 and 3, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. You trust the Lord. Keep your mind on him. Verse 8 says, his heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire come on his enemies. You have an enemy. My Bible tells me in Romans 16 and 20 that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Church, we have an enemy, but we don't need to be afraid. We need to believe God. I want you to stand with me. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank you for the victory that's ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. We're free from fear. And Father, we just stand against those fears that the enemy tries to bring on your people. I pray, Father, that people would just be set free from fear today, and Father, begin to enjoy life, begin to pursue after the things of God and all that you have for them. And Father, that we'll just see great breakthroughs as the walls of fear come down, as we begin to truly live by faith, trusting in you every day. Father, I pray that the peace return, the joy return, the victory return in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There may be somebody here today that you don't really have peace in your life, a lot of fears, because you've not really made Jesus Lord in your life. You might be a Christian, you might be in church, but I'm telling you, unless Jesus is Lord of your life, unless you have truly submitted to his lordship, you're always going to have fears controlling you, paralyzing you, keeping you from what God has for you. Turn it over to Jesus. Let him truly be Lord. There's some of you here today, there's a particular area of your life where you're struggling, battling fear. There's a stronghold there that you need to tear down in prayer. I encourage you to come for prayer this morning. As always, whatever prayer request or need you may have come with this morning, our prayer partners are here to pray with you and minister to you. So I'm going to dismiss the congregation, but I encourage you, if you need prayer for any reason, to come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Lord bless you.